This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Many patients with breast cancer must undergo mastectomy or breast removal as part of their treatment. And it's been shown that breast reconstruction following this procedure can have very positive and beneficial effects on the patient's overall psychological state. We'll hear with more on this and the newest reconstructive options available is Dr. Prashant Upadhyay. He's an assistant professor of surgery specializing in plastic and reconstructive breast surgery at Upstate Medical University. Welcome.
Thank you, Linda. Happy to be here.
So these reconstructive procedures have really come a long way in the last 30 years with better outcomes and more natural results. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, as you said, you're right. Reconstructive options have improved a lot, and the outcomes are getting better and better as we speak. A lot of this has to be attributed to the fact that insurance covers most of the reconstructive options. And in fact, there is a law which was passed in 1986 in which insurance is mandated to cover not only the breast surgery reconstruction of the breast cancer-affected breast, but also any matching procedures that might need to be done immediately or subsequently for the contralateral non-affected breast.
So it gives the patient a real option there to basically have the reconstruction without a lot of, you know, financial strain.
Exactly.
But yes. Tell us, I mean, there. It's my understanding that you can have reconstruction with either implants or you can use another part of the woman's body to do so, and that's called autologous kinds of transplants.
That's exactly right.
So, obviously, each of those have some advantages and disadvantages. I thought maybe we'd start out by saying, can you just give us a brief understanding of what the options are currently, in terms of timing especially?
So, immediate reconstruction, in which the reconstruction is done as soon as the breast is removed in the same setting, is the gold standard now and is done in most of the patients who are reconstructed. And as Linda said, there are many, many options we have.
When you say immediately done, you're saying that's the gold standard, so that's the desire, but there are times when it can't be done immediately.
Yes.
Explain that.
It could have to do with the disease. If the breast cancer is very aggressive and the oncologist thinks that the patient is better off not getting the reconstruction at that time, we could defer it.
And is that because of the types of therapy that would have to follow? In other words, if it's an aggressive tumor and there may be some additional cells elsewhere, they need to do different kinds of treatment?
You're right. It all depends on what the patient's expectations are and their interaction with the oncologist. To be frank, there are not really a lot of indications in which you have to defer surgery. It used to be more common in the past, but now, as I said, we're getting better and better at it. We can actually continue our adjuvant therapy even with an expander or breast reconstruction in place. But there are some patients who do not want to undergo the trauma of reconstruction till they're completely cancer-free, which is understandable. But as I said, immediate breast reconstruction is becoming more and more common, and I would say 80 to 90% of the reconstructions done now are immediate.
So you have the immediate one, which, as you said, most common, and then you have what they call delayed, so that's following chemotherapy or radiation treatment. And then there's something that I saw called immediate delayed. And what exactly is that? What are you doing at that time?
It used to be in the past that in case we did not know the actual disease status, because it takes a couple of days for us to get the results back from pathology, we would put in a spacer to buy time. And in case the disease came back as not very extensive, we would go ahead and do the reconstruction.
So what did the spacer do? How did it buy time for you?
It just prevents the skin of the breast from retracting. But as I said, it was done in the past. It's not a very common modality right now.
So basically you're saying most often and with today's techniques, you can have a reconstruction immediately.
I would say so.
And insurance does take care of it.
Insurance does take care of it.
So can you explain then the different options? You have breast implants that are often made of, I know, saline or silicone.
Yes.
And then you have this idea of the autologous.
Yes. So broadly speaking, you can classify breast reconstruction into implant-based and autologous. Implant-based can be single stage, in which the patient undergoes the mastectomy, undergoes a single stage direct to implant breast reconstruction, as in she wakes up with her breasts back. that can be applicable to a select few patients, patients who are relatively thin and do not want to be much larger breasted than they are already are. One more thing we are doing more and more commonly now is nipple sparing mastectomy, in which the patient's nipples are left as it is and the incision is made away from the nipple. And it's actually very well hidden below the breast. And we sometimes, if the patient's anatomy is conducive, we can actually insert an implant, a silicone gel implant, and this is known as immediate direct-to-implant breast reconstruction. Patient wakes up with breasts completely intact.
Does it look as natural as it would have been before?
It very closely mimics after some time, maybe in a couple of weeks. Initially, you will have the postoperative changes. And if I may be audacious, I may say sometimes they end up looking better because it's essentially filling the breast, empty breast pocket with a saline or silicone gel implant, which probably is a better profile.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with plastic surgeon Dr. Prashant Upadhyay, and we are talking about breast reconstruction after mastectomy. So that's the immediate using the implants. There's also this whole world of autologous, isn't it?
Right.
And autologous means using parts of the person's body.
Right.
Explain that.
Yeah, so a select few patients do not want any kind of foreign bodies in them. So they qualify for autologous breast reconstruction. There are also some people who have had radiation and their body tissue, the chest tissue, is not good enough to construct a breast. The indications for autologous breast reconstruction are very, very strict, and I would say 10 to 20% of the patients actually qualify for that. This is a much bigger surgery, and it can be done, broadly speaking, in two ways. You can either get the tissue from the abdomen or from the back. There are various indications, and it all depends on the patient preferences and the patient habitus and anatomy.
So there are different techniques along the I've seen different acronyms. There's an LAT flap, a DIEP flap, an SIEA flap. Can you explain kind of what you're doing there?
Yes. The LAT flap, it used to be very common in the past, and I think the indications for them have started going down. That's essentially us swinging a muscle from the back, the latissimus dorsi, into the front.
So the latissimus dorsi muscle is swung from the back into the front.
Into the front, along with some skin of the back, if needed. The advantage is that it's not as extensive a surgery as getting soft tissue from the belly, but it gives you soft tissue, which is sorely needed. Again, the indications for this have started going down just because the implant-based surgery has become better and better. The other more common autologous reconstruction method is getting tissue from the abdomen, which can be done in a variety of ways. One is to just swing the whole muscle and tissue up, which is a pedicle flap, which used to be very common in the past and now is a backup autologous reconstruction. The more common is getting soft tissue along with its blood supply and re-transplanting it to the chest.
And would you say, in your opinion, which of those, whether it be autologous, whichever of the techniques you use autologously, or implants, which are the better outcome or the more natural outcome?
That's a very good question. There have been various studies, and the outcomes actually is all based on patient preference. You have to understand that the autologous reconstruction involves a lot of surgery, and immediately, patient probably will not be happy with it, but in 5 years, probably will have a better natural-looking outcome without any foreign bodies in them.
Getting back to the foreign body idea, it was very much in the press in the last 10 years or more, a lot of controversy around silicone implants. What's the current status these days?
Well, as everything, things are blown up out of proportion. The good news is, in America at least, it's under a strict regulatory authority, and silicone implants have been reintroduced only for the last 7 years or so. But during this time, during the past 20 years or so, when silicone implants were not allowed here, they have been used in the whole world without any undue side effects. Now, there are very, very rare side effects, but the implants are getting better and better now. They do not leak out like silicone oil, like used to happen. And that's probably what most of the listeners are used to seeing on the internet.
Yeah, and all the news saying that people are having all kinds of untoward effects as a result of that leakage.
Yeah.
How about the saline? Is one superior to the other?
Well, I mean, I guess it's my personal preference, but saline implants do not have the natural feel or the look of silicone gel implants. Now, again, I offer both to patients. The technique remains the same, but I think the longevity of the results are better and the feel of the breast is better with silicone implants.
So overall, what do you see as the advantages or disadvantages of all of these techniques? In other words, this idea of immediate versus delayed or implant versus autologous, you've had a lot of experience with this.
So a lot of patients now actually wake up with their breasts intact. So even if I put expanders or spacers, as is known, we expand them pretty aggressively. And when the patient wakes up, they don't wake up with a flat chest anymore, like used to happen before. Now, for females, it's very, very debilitating to wake up with a flat chest, even if they did not have very big breasts to begin with, because they feel a loss of femininity. So our goal is to avoid that so that when they wake up, they actually wake up with breast mounts. And for sometimes, they actually look better than what they were before they went under the knife.
So from your experience, though, you don't see, obviously it's much more surgically involved to have these autologous procedures, but you feel that it's pretty equivalent, it's pretty much a personal choice in terms of whether you get the implant or whether you go for the autologous?
Well, I offer all the modalities of treatment to the patient, and then I let the patient pick up what they want. But majority of the patients will be served by implant-based reconstruction.
What are the risks of either of these?
Well, the biggest risk with implant-based reconstruction is infection. So at any given time, a foreign body, if it gets infected, has to come out. So that kind of is a big deal.
What's the incidence of that happening?
I would say anywhere from 5 to 10% of the implants can get infected.
Hmm.
Again, we're getting better and better at it. We're kind of figuring out what causes these infections and trying to avoid it.
And if someone were to have an infection, that would mean removal of the implant, and then is it possible to then have another re-implant?
Yes, we just have to wait for a couple of months, wait for the infection and everything to cool down, and then we can either try the implant-based reconstruction again or try the autologous reconstruction method. The point is you always have an option.
And today it sounds like the options are getting better and better.
Yes.
And in terms of techniques, especially.
Techniques. And I would also like to mention fat grafting, which I think is a very powerful weapon we have in our
Explain
system.
That. Yeah, what is that?
So basically, after breast reconstruction, if we have certain lumps or dimples, we can always fill them up with actually taking fat and processing it from somewhere else and then filling it up, filling all those defects up.
So that's another way of making things look most natural.
Yes.
And very positive.
Yes.
Okay. I also read very briefly that some women who have the autologous may need physical therapy. So there's a lot to be considered
Yes. If
they've had muscle removed from some other places
Right. And
all
that. So the recovery period is more extensive after autologous reconstruction, for sure.
So much information, but obviously timing, treatment, and so many other things go into it. Everybody's got to decide for themselves, but there's a lot of hope out there.
Yes.
My guest has been Dr. Prashant Upadhyay, and he is the assistant professor of surgery specializing in plastic and reconstructive breast surgery at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.